Welcome to Step Into Vision, a podcast where we talk all things Apple Vision Pro. No gossip, no rumor mills, just real builders, real experiences, and what it actually takes to design, ship, and think spatial. Step Into Vision is a global community of creators, developers, designers, filmmakers, artists, educators, and anyone seriously exploring what spatial computing can become. We host weekly events for the community where we have deep technical conversations. We publish the largest collection of example code, tutorials, videos related to VisionOS development, and now apparently we have a podcast. And for our very first guest, or guests, are some of the people who keep Step Into Vision moving behind the scenes. These are the folks you'll see in office hours. They're the ones answering questions, debugging late-night issues, helping shape ideas before they ever see daylight. First, we have Joseph, who started Step Into Vision and helped turn a simple idea into a real living community. Then there's Mike, one of our resident coding extraordinaire. If something breaks, he's probably already fixing it. If something feels impossible, he's more motivated to test it. And Jimmy, another incredible coder and project manager, the calm guy in the chaos, the ones who make sure ideas don't just stay ideas. So these are the folks who show up consistently, generously, and thoughtfully. And the idea today is we're bringing the office hours energy to the podcast. So let's get into it. Welcome to episode one. This is not AI. Probably sounded AI. There was a point where I was speaking and it sounded AI, but hey everyone, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Yeah, that was awesome.
Great. Love the intro, Pello.
Yeah.
One complaint though, you forgot to introduce yourself.
Yeah, right. I forgot to introduce myself. This is what's called episode one. Jeez, I probably took that out of the show notes. Let me go and look for my introduction. Sorry, guys. All right, so my name is Paolo. I'm one of the co-leads of Step Into Vision, UX designer, developer, creative director, an immersive filmmaker, and someone who likes to test ideas nonstop and throw them in the back. I live my life at the intersection of liberal arts and technology with the value of empowering others, the value I try to live by through mentorship, conversation, through listening, not telling people how to do things, but understand how they do things. So yeah, that's me. And we'll probably get to know more about me and everyone else. So I'll hand it over to folks to introduce themselves.
Take it away, Mike.
Oh, really? Hi, I'm Mike Bundy. I've been a developer for 3 decades now, and recently found myself in the spatial computing world after this device came out. And I have become incredibly addicted to the magic that comes along with the Vision Pro. It's been, I don't have another word for it other than addictive to be able to manifest my own realities in front of me with this device. I think it's an incredible piece of hardware that offers us the very cool ability to build spatially, experience objects and things that specifically as a developer, it's just incredibly fun and surreal. And I the first day I put this device on and opened up Xcode and started shipping primitives to my living room, I knew I was in.
Awesome. Jimmy?
I'm Jimmy Valaders. I've been doing software development for about 8 years now. Fell in love with RealityKit, ARKit, and now with spatial computing on VisionOS. It's something really incredible, and I think that it's something that's evolving and it bring brand new. It's something I enjoy kind of like learning more about and experiencing more and helping others to see the full potential of what the Apple Vision Pro can bring. So yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Joseph?
Sure. My name is Joseph Simpson. I'm a software developer by profession, and I'm also a huge proponent of kind of building in public and learning in public. So I started Step Into Vision about 1.5 years ago as a place to just publish example code and labs for the projects I was working on. And it eventually snowballed into a much bigger project than I had initially planned. And then, we formed a community around it as we kicked off office hours about a year ago. And it's just kind of grown and grown into this vibrant community of a couple hundred developers who get together to support each other. We hang out on a Discord server. We get together at office hours every week. We try to help each other share stuff online and check out each other's apps and provide feedback and stuff like that. So that's kind of who I am and what Step in Division is. And these three who just introduced themselves have been critical to that for the last year. They have shown up consistently at office hours and in our Discord and just for the community in general. And they're all building their own products and businesses on the side, or maybe they're doing this on the side. They're all building their own things, and kind of contributing what they're learning as they go. So if we can use Mike as an example, Mike has published a game called Aegis Core on VisionOS, and he has used that dozens of times. I've lost count how many times as an example, as a teaching tool to show somebody in the community how he solves something with RealityKit or ARKit. Jimmy just recently published an app that we'll talk a little bit more later. Jimmy is also one of the first people to, welcome folks into the community. He's always one of the first people to jump in and help somebody. I've gotten so many messages from people just saying how awesome Jimmy is. And Paolo brings this incredible diversity of skills. He's like a polymath, a technical polymath. He knows a little bit about everything, and he has a way of putting those things together in a way that is kind of hard for someone who's just a programmer to imagine. And then he also has this story-driven focus and tends to work on projects or talk about projects that have a lot more heart to them, and a lot more artistic quality to them than a lot of the software you're going to see. So I'm really grateful to be surrounded by the three of you and thrilled to be doing this episode together.
Are you all crying?
Yeah.
Was like, oh my gosh. It's like
Was really good.
Joseph,
A
you're so
little bit.
Yeah, no. Thank you for welcoming us. Like, I think I
Thanks, Joseph.
remembered like seeing Step in Division the first time at the MIT Reality Hack as mentors. And then I was like, I wonder where was this when we started? And I was like, was this all working in the background? And it's like, oh, I want to be part of this. And and we're all here. We're all here together. We're doing a bunch of really cool things. And thank you so much for keeping the community very community focused, putting a lot of different codes, welcoming our contributions, and seeing like where that takes us. To Jimmy, I remember when Joseph said like Jimmy is the person who welcomes people. Every time someone new comes in, Jimmy's the first person to send that Discord welcome emoji, like the bleep. And I'm just like, every time.
Oh yeah, no, I'm on it.
Every
Yeah.
time.
You, Mike,
On it.
John, and then I'm like, oh man, how does he know when someone comes in? It's like I'm gonna wave too. So yeah, always the first
I don't
welcome
remember giving him any kind of special access, but I'll have to check. Maybe he gets
emoji.
notified before anybody else.
But yeah, with the community, I just want to jump in there real quick and say, yeah, I mean, when I first found this community, I also was kind of looking for some like-minded people who are exploring VisionOS. And it was great to kind of, be able to talk to other people, who also were exploring this platform. And it's been really great and it's been really supportive. And yeah, I just want to say thank you for maintaining this community and and continuing to make it grow and to expand to what it is today.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'll pile on Joseph on that for a second too. I am very appreciative of this community as well, and as a longtime developer, most of my developer friends are not into this platform. Not to say it's a bad platform. It's just not their focus. And Joseph and I hit it off pretty easily, and he was, I think you were kind of my first real friend in this arena. And it was cool to watch this community grow from from its very basic level to where it is now. And it's going to be very fun to see where it goes in the future.
Yeah.
When I started, when Vision Pro was like announced, I was with a lot of the iOS communities, with like CommunityKit, the folks like with Paul Hudson, Michaela, Malin, the Core Coffee folks, and we were all excited when the Vision Pro was like announced in 2023. And then I was just like, I want to build a community. Let's gather. So me and Miguel, we talked and we were like, let's do a meetup in WWDC in Phil's Coffee. Let's brought people. Justin was there, and a lot more folks were coming in there, and slowly folks were just going back to their iOS roots because the Vision Pro brought in a new set of individuals, creatives, artists, and we were just trying to put them together. And I was trying to figure out where we need like an online presence. And I'm like, I do not have the bandwidth to make an online presence sort of thing. I can just organize physical things when things happen because I have stuff to do. So I try to keep in touch with folks. And then when we all met at MIT, there was this person who showed, oh, I made this website. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then there was a LinkedIn group. And I was like, great, we're all in here. It's not that active. And then someone was pushing Joseph to make a Discord. And then from there, we all just hopped in. And then everyone just kept coming back. So everyone I met separately were all there. And we just kept pushing and empowering and igniting, firing everyone to just keep going. So, yeah.
Yeah, if I could just chime in there. The Discord server and the LinkedIn group. The LinkedIn group probably represents my weirdest bit of like, it is there. I don't really know how to get people to post there or interact there. If anybody has any ideas, let me know. It's not a complete failure. Like, it does serve a purpose, but it's not the most active and chatty place. I think people feel a little self-conscious about publishing there, and I don't really know how to fix that yet. The Discord, I've never been much of a Discord or Slack person. You know, I always joke around that, you know, the handle that I use on social media is VR Hermit. Like, I'm used to working by myself. So you could not have asked me to predict that I would be building a community in 2024 and 2025, but here we are. So when we started office hours, well, I think we had like 6 or 7 months of office hours meetings. And we were, you know, always sharing links and posts in the Zoom chat during those meetings. And a couple of times people were like, we should really take this offline. We should, you know, be able to have something to talk throughout the week. And I just kept pushing people, like, you know, go, just, you know, get active in the LinkedIn group. That's what it's there for. And everybody just kind of smiled and nodded, like, very politely, like, shut up, Joe. You don't know what you're talking about. Eventually I was politely peer pressured into making the Discord group, and it was a great decision. Discord as a company has their flaws, and we can probably make a whole episode about that. But as a private server, it's not a community server, it's a private server. We, you know, we only invite people who are serious about the platform. So we've been very fortunate to avoid a lot of the problems you see in big servers. We don't really have any, we have moderators, but I don't think we've ever had to use them for anything. We have a very civil group of people who are just professional, who are building stuff, who are creative and helping each other and encouraging each other. So I'm really grateful to the entire community who has showed up there for just kind of being like that, being friendly and professional and upbeat. It really makes the whole thing much more palatable to me, because if it was just endless bickering and like kicking people out and banning it, I would probably shut it down. But I think we've done great.
Yeah, I don't think the ban hammer's been swung one time, actually. Maybe on a bot like 6 months ago. But yeah,
the Discord was a really, really good place for everyone to come in, and it was great because we keep everyone just building. Like, if you feel like down because you're not having that conversation you need, so just go into the Discord and someone just says, oh, your idea is great. We review each other's stuff, we look at test flight. So it keeps us going and testing and building new things. To move into that, I want to know what everyone's doing with Vision OS. Like, probably folks listening to this may know who we are, but at some point someone's going to listen to episode one, so they want to know, what are we doing right now on this day of 2026, February 16th?
Let's go in the same order again. About Mike, Jimmy, Paolo, and then I'll go. And then we can use my segment as a segue to shared visions a little bit.
Boy, what? That's hard. What am I working on? I'm so ADD on like a given day.
Let's start with what people can download right now, and then let's go to the other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, my main quote unquote hit game for the platform would be Aegis Core. It's done pretty well. I got blessed by the Apple gods that control the App Store editorial section middle of December, and they've let me hang out in the home area of the App Store. So if you're looking for my game, you can just pop into the App Store. I think it's like the fifth or sixth icon in the top. I'm quite obsessed with scene reconstruction and what I can do with skinning rooms and people's environments and making gameplay loops that don't require a specific room size or, certain build of a house or an apartment or whatever that wherever you might exist. So, most of my experiments, I try to make them as fun as they can be in a small room as a multi-acre, field in the middle of nowhere. I think that's one of the biggest selling points for some of the games that you can create on this platform is that active LiDAR scanning and meshing of your surroundings. And I find myself a lot of my experiments and current game betas still all lean very hard into that.
So, Mike, did you have any experience in VR or AR prior to Vision Pro?
None, actually. No, I but a lot of experience in Objective C and a little bit of Swift, and my background's actually in financial institutions here in the Northwest, doing mobile apps and web apps and things like that for them. And so I've been quite familiar with Xcode. So it wasn't very hard to transition to this platform. It was only hard to get an understanding of what the device was capable of. And that's sort of the thing that I think I've become most obsessed about is just that experimentation on this device is so, for lack of a better term, magical. Like it really, it just it there's no I have not seen I've played with VR, plenty of VR tech, but I had yet to get the pipeline established for myself to, like I said earlier, take a primitive square, rotate it and throw it in my living room and watch the device pull the lighting out of the room and apply it to a metal texture on a box. And pretty much right there, I was absolutely sold because I had played with enough other VR platforms to know that that was something very special.
Yeah, I would echo that. The first time anyone working in VR or AR, the first time you get a chance to build something, and when you build something on a Mac and you render it on screen, like it's pretty awesome. Like I just did that. I made this application that runs, and I can click a button and it does something. It's awesome. That feeling in VR is magnified by like 100 because you don't get to go see something you made. You get to step inside it and you get to be present inside it. Or you get to, in the case of Vision Pro, with pass-through being the default, you get to stand next to a real looking artifact, a rocket ship or a globe of the Earth or something like that. And it's just a pretty incredible feeling. Yeah, I love it.
You're saying.
Yeah, and one thing I would echo there on Mike's app, which is really cool, is how the little aliens are responding to your actual surroundings. It's jumping off like your couch that's like right there in front of you. And just that feeling of having it actually like immersed in your own space is so cool. Mike, did you have like any I guess like talk us through like how you wanted to implement that?
I don't even remember how. I mean, I know it started with just like spheres coming towards me, and then it turned into spaceships for a minute, and then I started playing with ray casting and getting, you know, some surface detection working and using those ray casts to figure out where the height differences were on these different jumps. And then it just kind of snowballed into a thing. Like I had no official game plan for that game. It was just there. I actually have two other apps in the App Store, and you can see the evolution of where that landed. And in my fourth game, when that inevitably comes out, you'll see it even farther, right? Because it's like my first game was like a ball pit. I literally made a 99-cent ball pit that's still on the App Store, and it just uses all the scene reconstruction and a bunch of physics and friction and things like that. And you're slapping balls around with your hand or grabbing them with look. And then I went into the particle emitters, and I got super obsessed with particle emitters, and I started building an editor for particle emitters. And then it really just turned into, okay, well, how can I make things attack me? Because I mean, at the end of the day, there was a game experience that I wanted to have that didn't exist yet. The game has been out for like a year. I released it last February, actually, like a week from now will be its 1 year anniversary. I should probably be more aware of that. And, you know, it just, things just kept evolving, and I ended up where it was kind of accidentally, just by, like I said, I actively played my own game. You know, it wasn't like a AI smash fest of like, go try to get profitable on this thing. It was like, well, this is the game experience I want to play. And I've been video gaming my entire life. I'm 43 years old. It's been a long ride. And I had also played enough VR headsets to understand that there you can do that experience. You can build Aegis Core mm-hmm. on these other platforms, right? But you can't take off running with a headset on you and end up in another room of your house and also have them spawning where you were in your living room and now in the bedroom and running down the stairs and watching them jump down the stairs. And that was like, there was just light bulbs going off one after another, after another. I'm going, yeah, this is a thing. Yeah. I should keep chasing that. And so that's sort of how I got there.
It's an amazing game. Like one thing I wanted to say, like the thing that blew my mind, I remember when you demoed this to me, I was like, how do I get the weapon? And he said, put your hands together and pull. And when I pulled, that was like a holy crap moment. This is so cool. I'm going to keep doing this interaction. And that's what made it so juicy, delightful, fun. Was like, put your hands together, pull, and you get like that sound effect.
Yeah, so you cool. gave me one of the best compliments I've ever gotten on the game, actually, when we were down in Cupertino at that video game event that Apple hosted. And you were like, I feel so powerful when I spawn a weapon. And I was like, yeah. That's what I want. That's what I want people to feel.
And this is one of those. So this mechanism that we're talking about, there's a little like glowing ball of energy in front of you, and you use your hands, because Division OS is primarily a hand track platform. You use your hands to grip on that and then pull apart. And there's a sound effect. Now, obviously there are no haptics because you're just using your hands in the air, but the sound effect and the vibe of the game makes it feel like you can feel that animation happening. You're actually pulling this apart, and then this particle or this weapon like materializes in your hand in a very sci-fi fashion. It is a really cool thing. I'm also just really glad Mike didn't have any problems with wrist orientation or HUD placement or anything like that. There were no issues with this at all during development.
Oh yeah, none, zero. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sarcasm font.
When you pull, is that immediately in your local space, or is it still world space? Like, when does it attach itself to your hands?
I'm only using your AR mm-hmm. tracking of the hands. So I wrote a custom fist detection hand gesture that I call it fist detection, but it's really actually just your last three fingers on your hand, so it ignores your thumb and your pointer finger. So you can still have trigger pulls and different things happening. So yeah, there you're really it's really only detecting it's yeah, it's not using any world tracking at all. It's just using distance tracking between your two hands and the distance between your fingertips. I'm like staring at my fingers talking about this. Yeah, your three fingertips and your wrist position. And then it's also doing a little bit of detection when the game initially boots up to try to detect how big your hands are, because people's trigger pulls and hand gestures are based on how large or small your hands are. So there's a lot of little fine-tuny details that I'm still getting better. The last three updates I've sent for this game have all just been hand and wrist updates because I would get feedback and someone would say, I can't get the weapon working. And I'm trying to figure out how to use their app store review to get a hold of them somehow and figure out how I can, what do you have are your hands typical? Are they small? Are they big? Like, how are you doing it?
It's at some point you're going to have a library of different hands, and when you ask user testers, please take a size of your hand. You know how Apple did multiple ears for their AirPods to test it? You're going to need like an insane number of hands to have a hand library.
With Apple Vision Pro, they studied thousands of heads, remember?
I believe it.
Oh yeah, they did. Yeah, I believe it.
All right, let's talk about someone else's thing.
All right, Jimmy.
No, sort of like Mike, I'm always on a constant side quest of exploring, different like APIs, SDKs. My most latest one was on the sound analysis framework. That spawned after being really curious on how the mindfulness app worked on the Apple Vision Pro. There's a part in there when you're doing the meditation that the actual pedals react to your breathing. And I was always curious on how did that work? I was like, is there like something that it's like connected to? Is it like listening? And so, Joseph, I think you mentioned that it was this framework called sound analysis here. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a look at that. And so when I first was researching it, I was actually blown away because there are over like 300 different sounds that are like already given to you, like within that framework. There's stuff from like the sound of the water in the bathtub. There's like a doorbell. There's like a knock. And so in there, I picked one, which was the hand clap. And I was like, okay, let's see what I can implement this with Vision OS. And so I decided to create like just a small demo on how the sound clap or the sound of a hand clapping using the sound analysis and Vision OS can trigger almost like a visual representation of what that sound would look like in your space and how it would hit off like different materials, from anything from like the wall or chair that's in front of you. And it turned out really cool. And so, yeah, my goal and usually for those short demos are really just to inspire people and just to kind of get people talking and, taking a look at these like different frameworks. And, maybe, people are going to check out sound analysis in their next app that they have. And some of the stuff is like really cool that I think most people, it's not that they're not aware, it's just probably they didn't have time to explore that area yet. And I think that's where I tend to mainly focus my energy on is, okay, what are some of these areas that people might know or might not have too much experience with? My most recent one was exploring foundation model. And I had this app where I would just test out the foundation model and kind of figure out, what we can do with it and how we can implement it with Vision OS. And then it started evolving. I was like, okay, let me throw a 3D model into this here. And then from there, I was like, oh, what if we could talk to it, kind of like, a rubber ducky, like debugging app there. And so I gave it like a little personality there for it to respond back to. And then from there, just kept tweaking it and, having the model, swim within like your own space and having it kind of like a little desk pal there. And that actually evolved into the app that I released last week, which is called Patito. It's a spatial rubber ducky app that you can just have, sitting by your side on your desk. It could swim around. And then in immersive mode, you could actually talk to it. And using the foundation model, it'll give you an emotional response back to your voice command or any like questions you have to it. I think I really enjoy kind of like having the little ducky just kind of like either be like sad or happy for you there. And the foundation model was something that was able to kind of capture all those like responses and questions that like somebody would have for it.
I cannot emphasize enough how much I love this app idea. It's actually I've had something like this written down on my ideas catalog, and when I was sharing some of those ideas with Jamie, he's like, "So I'm actually working on that." I'm like, "Perfect." But I love this type of app that I'm generally calling like developer desk toys, kind of like executive desk toys, but with a developer theme. And you'll see why later on. I love this category. But yeah, I love it. It's well done. The little rubber ducky model itself, by our friend Matthew Spendlove. It's adorable. The animations are adorable. Like, it's just a very fun, playful thing. And anytime you can make an entire app basically off of a pun, that like I'm 100% on board. So well
Yeah,
done, sir.
that's my favorite. Like, there's a whole list of puns that you and I have talked about that could evolve into just different fun, silly games. And I think that's one of the joys, kind of exploring. VisionOS is kind of bringing these silly games and ideas to life.
Yeah, if Jimmy and I need our own podcast called like the Writer's Room or something, where we just, for those who can tolerate that personality type of humor, because I know puns are not for everybody, but
We might have a special podcast episode where we just throw puns at some point. So
right.
come with your best pun.
It'll come with a content warning.
Yeah.
I actually have two rubber duckies in front of my screen right now, a big one and a small one. So, feature request sees a rubber ducky and it just overlays all the response on top of the rubber
Ooh,
ducky.
oh, I
I
like
love it.
that.
For those here who are not aware of the rubber ducky reference, and if you're just coming into the Step Into Vision podcast because you were curious about Vision Pro development, the rubber ducky is a programming method where you try to explain your code to a object like a duck, so you can sort of internalize and get an idea of what you're writing or building. So it's not just something that's in your head, it helps in the process.
And it really does help.
Yeah, it's something that my friends and I do all the time. Like, hey, you got time for a rubber ducky call? And just like, hop on
Same.
with a smart person and talk through a problem. Jimmy, I think you could monetize that though. The current version of the app is free, but if you want like rubber ducky deep dive, you push a button, it does an in-app purchase for like $10, and then it immediately connects to you wherever you are, and they can just talk to you.
Yeah, just like a, what is that, like a hotline or just like direct call. My phone would just be just ringing off the hook constantly. But
We can train a bunch of voice agents in with your voice and
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I could also do that. But yeah, I also yeah, I should have mentioned that Matthew Spinlove there created the rubber ducky there. And yeah, it definitely captured kind of like the feel I was going for of, the, cute little desk pal that you have laying around.
yeah, and I think you helped him with his app, Campfire Space, recently too, didn't you?
Yeah, he was he wanted to implement share play into his app there. So yeah, I helped him get share play integrated into Campfire Spaces, which is a really great, share play experience. I believe, you're in this like wooded like area. It's like a calm, relaxing feel. And being able to like see your spatial persona there and on a call, like you actually kind of feel more like relaxed and open. It really does kind of feel like a campfire.
Yeah, I mainly bring that up just to kind of show off how how good Jimmy is as a developer, because SharePlay is one of those kind of notoriously difficult things to figure out, and Jimmy's like, "Oh, sure, let me just jump in and help you figure it out." I'm like, here you go.
Yeah,
And
no, that's
it's
part of
not
the
no work, but
side that's part of those side quests, you know? Like you get something and you're just like, I wonder how that works, and I'm just gonna take like however long it takes until I like figure it out. And then yeah, you never know, like some of these side quests could evolve into like an app. So yeah, it's always fun.
I totally agree.
Awesome. Well done. Paolo, tell us a little bit about what you're working on.
Well, I am working on an app called Lalo Immersive. It is an spatial choral experience on the Vision Pro. It is a choral ensemble based in San Francisco, California, of Filipino Americans and Americans as well, singing a lot of classical repertoire of different songs. We film the space with Apple Immersive Video, spatial video, one VR 180, 360. We do 3D scan recreations of the environment. It's a great audio experience. To give an idea of like where that idea all came from, I was at the labs during the early days of the Vision Pro. We were trying to figure out what to build for the Vision Pro. I was there with my company where we build medical trainings for medical device manufacturers and hospitals. While I was there, I was trying to figure out what else can I make. So I learned a lot of different things. A friend of mine from college who finished his PhD in classical music conducting, he's won some awards. He says, I'm making a choir in San Francisco. I'm bringing a lot of these people. Can you help me with production and all these other things? And I said, yeah, I can help you because I've done it before. I was also part of a choir back in college. That's kind of how we met. And I said, I've been doing this stuff with Apple Vision Pro and I want to do spatial audio and Apple Immersive Video. And he says, yeah, as long as you can still do the regular things. I showed him some demos, and after he saw the demos, he was like, okay, let's figure this out. We brought in some of our singers, Jett Galindo, who won a Grammy for mixing a lot of things. She's really an amazing audio engineer. She wanted to do spatial audio for the first time. We came in, we brought all these singers from around the United States, some folks from Europe, some folks from the Philippines who travel to professionally sing. And we started this first concert series. We recorded it in all these different formats. We recorded it in 2D, 3D, spatial, VR 180, 360, all the different audio types, because I wanted to see what would that look like in the Vision Pro. And from there, we sort of found, okay, we're gonna do Apple Immersive Video. We're gonna do spatial audio only. And we kept going at this because I was very, very inspired by what Steve Jobs said at a talk where he said, until someone invents headphones for the eyes, that's where it's going to be. So I thought, headphones for the eyes. So I want to think of entertainment, an experience, an audio, as if you were a concert, as if you were there. So I thought, what better way to build something on Vision Pro by building a experience where you can listen to choral music all around you? And what if I also scanned the environments of where we were performing using photogrammetry recreated in Blender, have someone sit there and look? And then that's when, after we built the first app, everyone just had ideas. They were like, what if we teach someone how to conduct? What if you had a tour? What if you did this? And that's where we all starting to have discussions. So that's Lalo. We're doing our recording for our next show on March the 2nd. We're actually going to have a meeting after this podcast. So we're going to talk about where we're going to put the cameras, what's going to happen. And it's going to be in Mission Dolores Basilica in San Francisco. So if you just do like a quick Google search, you can see how amazing it looks inside. So that's going to have a 3D scan. It's also going to have an Apple Immersive Video as well.
And I just want to jump in real quick and give Paolo some flowers here because I'm very dev centric. I know most Joseph and Jimmy are as well, but Paolo is he's incredibly well versed in so many things. The couple times we've screen shared on different things, he's got a Blender file open with a 3D scan of some cathedral, and then he's doing video editing, and then he's doing audio immersive editing, and then he's doing the development work, and it's genuinely impressive and fun to bounce ideas off of someone multidisciplinary like you are.
Yeah, 100% agree. It's also an impressive app. For those who haven't tried it yet, do yourself a favor and go get Lalo Immersive on the App Store and set aside an hour to be in the space, watch some of the immersive concerts, watch some of the video concerts, and just listen to the music. It's an incredibly thoughtfully designed app and experience. So it's a place that you go, but it's also a piece of software. And you've done really well on both of those.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
So question four, because I skipped this question earlier, for both Jimmy and Paolo, did either of you or both of you have experience with VR and AR before Apple Vision Pro?
Paul, I'll go first.
All right, yeah, because I've already. Yes. So in 2014, I was a creative director at a company that I started that was acquired by a university. We were trying to figure out how to do immersive tours. So I started fig trying the Oculus DK1 kit, and I started playing with 360 immersive video, but I did not want to pay $7,000 for a rig that GoPro was gatekeeping. So what I did was I got six GoPros. I got a little piece of styrofoam, carve that out to create that rig, put a bunch of rubber bands, and use code to align all the videos to make the tour. I then
So
went to.
wait a second. This is what we're talking about with the multidisciplinary thing, because like, who else is going to do that? Someone who's just a
That's like
software
four people's
developer is not
jobs.
going to
Someone
think of
being
that
cheap.
solution.
I'm just being cheap. I was being cheap. I was like, I don't want to pay 5,000. Even though we did have the budget for it, I was like, I don't want to pay $5,000. I'm going to put that on people, crew, catering, anything else. I'm not going to pay $5,000 for a rig. We can get GoPros. I can carve it, and I can program the videos to warp into 360 videos. So, and then I started doing Unity VR. I built this game that was called Tales of the Aswang, which was a folklore immersive storytelling experience that was on HTC Vive. There's a really funny story about how Oculus wanted to fund it, and I was in talks there, but then they laid off that entire team and it never just materialized. So I was just trying to do it by myself, figuring out how to do a Kickstarter, and then Vision Pro came out and I'm like, I'm gonna move it to Vision Pro. So that's what's working on the back end. So I've been doing it sort of for a while, seeing different things.
What about you, Jamie?
I was actually just kind of just pulling up this. So how I started back, it was like in 2019. I was actually watching a WWDC video. I was actually just pulling it up just to make sure I got the name of it correctly. It looks like it was one from WWDC 20. It's called What's New in Reality Kit. And in there, they go over scene understanding. And this example that was presented in here, they took a little digital bug, and what he did was he held it through the iPad, and when he threw it against the ground, it dissipated into like a million pieces. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. I didn't know anything about it. I was like, I don't know what this is, but I want to do that. I was like, this is what I want to do. So from there, I started exploring. It was Reality Composer on the iPad version there, and started making little like 3D scenes. I think one was like I would make little like 3D postcards or birthday cards, and I would send them by just like sending the USDZ file like through a message. And when they popped it open, it was like a photo of like us and like little like a birthday cake or something silly like that, something small. But from there, I just kind of got hooked, and I was like, I really enjoyed doing this. So I started, diving deep into Reality Kit, and started exploring more on like different possibilities. And then yeah, when Vision OS came out, I was so excited. I just kind of just again just dove right in, and then that's kind of how I got started, was just from that one WWDC video.
Awesome. So just to give my bona fides in VR as well, In 2016, I made my first iOS app. It was a little game in SpriteKit called Random Arrow. And it was, as you can tell, a joke app based on you had to swipe, like these little arrows would appear on screen, and you had to swipe in the direction the arrow was facing, but the app was constantly trying to trick you with the arrows showing up in places you didn't expect them, or animations and things like that. I had made that in about 6 weeks, and then I got thoroughly nerd sniped with VR. I took that little game to the local game developer meetup and showed it off. And while I was there, I got exposed to VR. And 3 months later, I was paying way too much money for a Razer laptop and an external GPU and a HTC Vive. And I spent the next 2 years working in Unreal Engine and Unity making stuff. A lot of the stuff I worked on, some of the stuff, my own projects, some of them shipped, some of them didn't. A lot of stuff I worked on was client NDA'd stuff, so I can't really talk about it. At some point, I became a little disillusioned with where VR was going, particularly around the launch of Oculus Quest. When the months leading up to that, they made it pretty clear that the platform was not open or welcoming of indie developers. They were going to have a highly curated storefront that you had to apply for months in advance to be able to get something released. And just like the way that we can just have an app idea and ship it to the App Store on iOS and Android, that just wasn't going to be possible with Oculus Quest. So for a while, I got a little disillusioned and set VR aside, but I couldn't stay away very long. And I ended up, I still had my headsets, I was still using them, and I really wanted to make something, but I didn't want to deal with Meta's gatekeeping. So at this point, I had worked a little bit with WebVR, and WebVR was formalized and eventually became WebXR. So it got a bunch of AR features worked in. They re kind of rehashed the standard. And fortunately for me, the Quest platform had a native browser with a great team who was building in support. So I spent the next several years making WebXR experiences. The actual, the kind of the predecessor project to Step Into Vision was a WebXR project that I still sometimes dabble in called Cambatorium. It was my spatial design lab, essentially where I would combine WebXR scenes, mostly in Babylon.js, with modern front-end frameworks like Vue.js. And so yeah, I've been kind of obsessed with this idea of making human interfaces in VR, making productivity software, making things that I want to use to accomplish day-to-day tasks in a kind of a more human-centric way. I'm someone with some physical limitations related to way too much computer usage over the years, so the less typing and less mousing I can do, the better. So I, over the years, I've made a lot of stuff where I can just enter a space and get some work done with simple hand tracking gestures, or on Vision OS, just simple system gestures like taps and drags and things like that. So yeah, Vision OS, I feel like my entire pre-Apple Vision Pro career was kind of like, I was happy with some of the stuff I had, but I was definitely just waiting year after year for Apple to finally enter VR, and could not have been happier when they finally announced Apple Vision Pro. The sticker shock was real. The incredibly high price tag was a little daunting. I remember saving up for Apple Vision Pro. We didn't know what it was called then, but I had smugly saved up $2,500, thinking there's no way it could possibly be more than this. And they announced it at $3,500. I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. But yeah, as soon as I finally got my Apple Vision Pro, my other headsets just started collecting dust. I actually got rid of them eventually. I still have a PSVR, PSVR 2 that I mostly keep around because I use the controllers with my Vision Pro, but it's the only headset that I use every day. And it is what I was waiting for. It's not perfect, obviously. There's a lot we can go into, maybe not today, about the hardware and the software, but it lets me build the things that I want to build and that I have wanted to build for years, in the way that I want to build them, which is why I'm so excited to work on this platform.
Thank you for sharing that journey. Wow.
And what are you working on right now, Joseph?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good.
So that's a good question. I have one app in the store that I'm not actively working on, although it's not, I haven't stopped. I just kind of pick it up when I have time. It is called Project Graveyard. It is also in the developer desk toys category. It is a stupid idea. If you have been in software development long enough, you probably have projects that you started and that you killed off, or projects that you lost interest in. I made a place for you to bury and remember those. And because I'm a smartass, it's a tiny little pathetic graveyard. Everything is like 1/10 scale. So you don't get to like memorialize your things in some kind of gloriously beautiful thing. It's the sad, pathetic looking little volume that sits on your desk. And that one pet project that you poured 2 years of your life into is now just this, 1 centimeter little gravestone that's sitting on your desk mocking you. So that's the vibe I'm going for with Project Graveyard. It is very much a smart ass app. The other stuff I'm working on, probably my favorite one is Dark Spaces. I'm working on a series of immersive environments that are basically just places to hang out and think. They're kind of the opposite of meditation apps. I'm not trying to clear your mind. I'm trying to give you a place to actively think and just be with your own brain for a while and get some good critical thinking done. And I just happen to like certain materials and certain lighting in 3D graphics. So I'm using those to build these spaces. And then obviously the most important thing that I'm building is Step Into Vision, the example code that I write for the site, share ideas with labs. I write a newsletter. I try to collect resources from the community. We host office hours. We're always encouraging people to be as open as they can. So if somebody wants to contribute content to the site, we're happy to publish stuff as long as they're willing to do it for the community. So yeah, I'm also we haven't announced anything like this. I have no idea if this will ever ship, but I am working on a Step Into Vision app, even though that's probably won't be what it's called, but I would like to actually ship a Vision OS app where you can dive through some examples and kind of see a working 3D version of an example along with the code side by side. It probably won't be everything that the site has to offer because there's some practical limitations of what you can do. Particularly with the windowing stuff, I can't necessarily get all of my windowing examples into a single app and still have that app actually be usable. But I'm hoping to get some kind of Step Into Vision companion app that can let you explore stuff in 3D and get that on the store and maybe use that app as a place to do other stuff for the community. So that should be fun too. If anybody wants to help me build that, let me know. I will definitely be building it in public. So it'll be a very community driven project when I get around to that. The last project that we're working on, I can't say I'm working on because a lot of folks are working on it, is Shared Visions. So Shared Visions is basically a documentary, for lack of a better term. It's a little bit more than that. We are telling the story of the Apple Vision Pro community, and we're doing it in a very Apple Vision Pro way. So rather than just make a documentary with a camera, you just grab a camera and point it at people and talk to them. We're doing some of that, but we're leaning into what the platform can do. And in VisionOS 26 in particular, Apple expanded the media capabilities of the device. It shipped with spatial video and Apple Immersive Video. Making Apple Immersive Video was incredibly expensive and difficult. It still is. But this year, they also opened the platform to Action Cam, 180, 360, things like that. And they've also improved the media player across VisionOS to make it more consistent and reliable. So you can experience the same type of video in Safari as a native app or in the Files app or things like that. So the idea is that we're going to be making a story that is driven off of a timeline. This will be something you can press play and watch, but it's not going to be playing a single video file. It's going to be playing a RealityKit scene with a timeline, and that timeline will execute interactions. It'll put a video on screen, play that video. It may sync up captions or subtitles with that video. It may have 3D objects to go with it. It may have multiple video panes on screen at once, maybe positioning them relative to one another or relative to where you're currently oriented. So there's a lot I can go into. We could probably have an entire like a step into or entire shared vision corner of the podcast. We may want to have some check-ins from time to time, but if you're interested in learning more about this project, we have a dedicated section on the site. I'll include a link to that in the show notes. But yeah, we are building this in public. The other three with me today are also working on that project. So Paolo is leading our video team, Mike is leading our app team, and Jimmy and I are kind of running it like project managers and making sure everybody has what they need. So what do you guys want to say about shared visions?
You want to say some stuff about the app, Mike? And then I'll talk about video.
Yeah, I it's kind of a amalgamation of little different experiments at the current moment. But yeah, it was fun. The first experiment that kind of came about was, trying to figure out how to get a timeline working where we could pause and play a timeline and have RealityKit components react to those, play and pause, keep track of where it was, and now as the UX starts to kind of land in a final place, I think some more ideas are coming about how we need to start scaffolding this all together. And I'm genuinely looking forward to that next round of stuff we've been talking about on our weekly shared visions meeting, which is probably going to open up some experimental spaces for people and throw out some different ideas we have for user experience and say, hey, does this sound fun to experiment with anyone? Please feel free to go try to make this experience and let us all play with it and give feedback. And I think it over the next coming months, it's gonna start to really come together pretty naturally. I'm actively trying to not just develop the whole thing myself. I know there are a lot of interested parties out there that want to contribute. I tend to be one of those late night developers where I just have a bunch of tasks in front of me. I just run with them all, and so this has been it's been good for me to have a lot more user interaction and experience discussions and make a game plan before I just dive into experimentation phase. So that's kind of where it's at, and it's gonna be a cool
Yeah, and what
experience.
one thing, obviously we're making this to release on the App Store, but one of the side effects of this is we're doing this as a community, we're doing this openly. Other people can learn from this project. So even if you're not participating, if you found this podcast a year or two down the road, go check our GitHub and find the Shared Visions project and see the timeline and the video player stuff that we have built and see how you can use it in your apps and see how you can use it to build something. So we're trying to create as much value for the community as we can as we tell the story of the community. So Paolo, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the video pipeline stuff you're doing?
Yeah, so a lot of the stuff that we'll be getting for this Shared Visions docu will be a mix of different immersive media formats by Apple. And Apple has sort of this page that says these are all the different formats. We can watch them in 2D, 3D, spatial, 180, 360, Apple Immersive Video. And because we have so many people who will be capturing their stories from around the world, we actually have our UX UI team out in Australia. So we're going to get a lot of really, really cool visuals. So the video pipeline requires us to figure out where are we storing these files? How are we receiving these files? Where are we editing these files? How do we get them to the app developer? So right now, because the only video editor that can allow us to edit Apple Immersive Video is DaVinci Resolve Studio. We will be using DaVinci Resolve Studio as our main NLE or nonlinear editor. Other folks can also edit their content, their spatial on Final Cut, but then the final delivery or final mixing will be on the DaVinci Resolve Studio. There is a feature that DaVinci, sorry, Blackmagic, the creator of DaVinci Resolve Studio has, which is a cloud service. It allows us to store a lot of our footages on the cloud so other folks can edit their sequences. We'll be using that to edit the proxies. So they're sort of the lower resolution version of our high quality files. Our high quality files will be stored in a main Mac. And when we're ready to approve all of our edits, we will do the final render on that Mac, which will probably export for hours and hours and days and days. Mike knows how long it took to export an Apple, days and days. So
Days and
that's what
days.
we're working on. The idea really here is the same with Lalo, was to figure out how someone who's not a multi-million dollar studio to produce these contents. Like, Step Into Vision is to share to the community how to build experiences. I want to empower others to think about how can we make documentary stories that doesn't require a lot of money. Like, we're going to be using what's available to us. So some folks here who may not have access to an Apple Immersive Camera by Blackmagic, they can film using their own iPhones, which they have, which can record in spatial video. And then there are others who have access to a 360 GoPro camera. They can film with their 360. And all that media is going to be mixed together to create a very interesting, diverse, cohesive one storyline, but also be able to articulate the unique nature of the developer, creator, storyteller, and their journey in the Apple Vision Pro development process. So, yeah.
So part of that diversity is that this is a global community. It's not just a couple of folks in one time zone working together on this. Jimmy has definitely been helping me keep that community organized, as we've had to try to find times to meet with people that work with as many people as possible. We have, as you mentioned, our UX and story folks, Mel and Oliver, are located in Australia. We have folks in China. We have folks in Europe. We have folks kind of everywhere, and it's hard to keep track of everybody. So Jimmy and I have been trying to kind of be the unofficial project managers. We're not necessarily product managers. We're not necessarily guiding the direction, but we're trying to make sure that the team leads have everything that they need and try to be supportive as we can. Jimmy, anything you want to say?
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a challenge, but I think also that's probably what makes it great is that it is kind of like a global, community that's come together that, to share this like one interest here and produce something that's like very spectacular. And getting the different perspectives from around the world has been probably one of my favorite things as like working on this project here. We could have just started, with a basic just having a window and showing the video on the window, but working with everyone, you can kind of get ideas from all around the world and saying like, why don't we add like this immersive asset that comes out during the timeline? And yeah, it's just been sparking like some really great ideas, like and that's something that I've been like really excited about and enjoy coming to those meetings and, being able to be a part of that has been awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And a special shout out to Mel and Oliver. Mel has taken lead of the kind of the story slash writing slash interviewing side of things. And she has really guided us through kind of an exploration of the themes and concepts that we want to discuss as a community. And we'll be using that to shape the questions that we ask each other. One of the things we decided as a group early on in the project is that we didn't want anybody to have to record by themselves. A lot of us are off on our own in our own little VisionOS world where we don't have anyone nearby to help with this. But we always want to get someone in their ear asking them some questions, prompting them when they're on camera. So we're working on those questions now. That's kind of the next big focus that we're doing this week. And Mel has been instrumental in that. She's incredibly thoughtful. She's taken a very deliberative approach to this and brought a lot of creativity out of everybody else through this process. So we really appreciate that. And then Oliver is has taken charge of UX and has taken us on this kind of discovery process of what it is that we're actually building, the actual app and experience itself, and how does it flow, working through the navigation, working through the data structure of all the various clips and things like that. As someone who is mostly a developer, I tend to just open Xcode and go and just like build and run and iterate. And this process is a little bit new to me, and I'm learning a ton from it, and I really appreciate how much I've been able to glean from Mel and Oliver.
Yeah, totally agree. We went through a lot of Figma, design reviews, design sessions, user journey, user flow, lots of squares, circles, round rects, and all of that, all of us collectively as a group with different workshops. So I'm not sure how we're all going to package this at the end, but I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Yeah, very much appreciated because I would definitely also just be opening up a window, throwing a VStack in, listing a bunch of stuff out, and be like, that's good, right? That's good, right?
Exactly. Yep. Just throw it all in there.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we went a little long for our first episode, but if you've ever been to any of our office hours, you would know that that is pretty much on brand. So let me shout out a couple of things. One, welcome to the podcast. Two, you won't hear me every week. The idea is Paolo is going to be running the podcast. He's our producer, our host, and you will hear from the rest of us whenever he sees fit to bring us on for something. But you should hear from a lot of members from our community. Paolo will kind of decide how, over time this podcast will kind of develop its own personality and idioms and stuff like that. And Paolo will be kind of leading that. So I always joke with people that I have a face for radio and a voice for print. So I will spare you my voice each and every week. But I will definitely be here as needed. And another administrative topic, or maybe just a plea, we all do this for free. I don't know how many people realize that, but Step Into Vision is a community project. We don't really make any money doing this. Through the generosity of the community, I have avoided spending a bunch of money to do it. If you would like to help us with that, we have some expenses to cover. It costs money to host a modern website, especially one of this scale. It costs money to run office hours. It's going to cost some money for a lot of the stuff we're doing with shared visions. So if you would help us out, we have a donation page at stepinto.vision/support. Anything you can spare would be immensely anything you could spare, we would be very happy to receive and would put to good use. And we are not just in it to collect all your money and run away. We are in it to kind of reinvest in the tools and infrastructure we need to continue building stuff for the community. And then if there are no objections, maybe there's a nice little segue here, Paolo. How about a bonus topic?
Well, wait, before we get there, I just want to give one more shout out. And that is every Friday we do an office hours. If you're
Yeah.
into development on this platform or have interests, we have all levels of technical knowledge joining that, but it is a very technical conversation.
So, if you want to hang out with us or meet other VisionOS developers, we do weekly office hours at Step Into Vision. You can go to stepinto.vision/about-office-hours, and we have a little link at the top of the site that will take you to this page that has the information on how to join and when our events are. We also have a community calendar on the site. You will see our office hours listed there along with anything else that's going on. But yeah, join us. It's a very lively discussion every week. It's anywhere between 20 and 30 people usually. We go on for at least 2 hours, sometimes three, and it's just a fun place to kind of show off what you're working on. Get feedback from people, ask questions. We have like a on running joke of We're basically a support group for people who don't want to use Blender. So there's a lot of Blender discussion and a little bit of AI discussion. And yeah, it's a very lively group. And I always come away just feeling super energized and motivated to get back to work the next day, even though I'm not supposed to be working the next day. So if there's let's do a little bonus topic since all four of us are here. What are we going to call this new podcast? Are we just calling it Step Into Vision Podcast? Step Into Podcast? Does it have its own totally unique name?
I mean, I've personally always been a fan of Step Into Podcast. Like the first
Step
time
Into
I met
Podcast.
Paolo, I believe I said Step Into Car, and we're talking about getting a WWDC house and calling it Step Into House. It seems like a thing that is naturally manifesting itself, but ultimately
Step into
open for discussion.
WWDC.
Yes.
I started a music group, a dubstep one. Step into dubstep.
Ooh. I
All
like
right. Well, there's no strong opinions. We can go with that. I was just hoping for some kind of fancy Latin name, maybe. I don't know. That was like a.
what are your ideas? You're
I didn't
the
have any.
captain of the ship, technically.
I've been trying not to think of them. So I was hoping to come up with some. But like when I named my last project, I named it Canvatorium, which was basically based on the HTML element canvas, where you use so much in WebXR. And I was trying to figure out how to make that sound fancy.
The Latin word for vision is visio, so it doesn't really have a lot.
So if you go to VR Hermit, my personal site, the Canvatorium Visio series is the Apple Vision Pro labs that I did before Step Into Vision. I don't know that anybody needs to try those because all the ones on the site now are much better than these, but they're still there for legacy reasons.
Spatial misconduct.
Spatial misconduct. Blender support group.
Awooga.
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 We just call the show Awooga.
Awooga.
There'll be a deep cut for anybody who was around in the beginning.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Paolo, now you have an excuse to actually get that
Awooga.
Awooga sound effect for the show.
Awoo.
I don't know that we need to, but it would certainly be funny.
I was like trying to think of
Null
just the word
pointer.
spatial. Null pointer exception. I feel like I want to play off with Reality Composer Pro in some way,
Yeah, kernel
but
panic.
What actually, there's a.
panic at the kernel.
I've got an idea. How about input temporarily not recognized or input temporarily not working?
IT.
Lost connection.
I was trying to abbreviate them, and then I realized that SIP is System Integrity Protection. And I was like, oh, is that a reserved keyword? SIP.
Okay, how about reconnecting? Remember that dialogue? The session will resume automatically when the connection improves from the early days of Mac Virtual Display.
Oh, resume. Yes, I remember the resume connection.
ADD Pro.
Nice. That's the YouTube channel name.
Well, I'm
I
a
do think it's kind of funny, like maybe when we do have all four of us here for an episode, we need like special high energy music for Mike and Paolo, and then like some lo-fi calming stuff for me and Jimmy.
We'll probably
Yeah, that
have,
tracks.
when we do the Step Into House, we'll have a room where you will all have the relaxing music, and then we'll have the pumped up music, and then we go into the different rooms, and then it'll be a very different listening experience.
Yeah, I'll be in my quiet space.
I'll do a beatbox show.
Nice. Nice.
And with that, let's wrap up today's episode one podcast, and see you all next time.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank
Awesome.
you.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thanks.